Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Alfred Holighaus is a development executive and producer at Realfilm in Berlin and Nordfilm in Kiel. He has extensive knowledge of German cinema, thanks to his background working as the managing editor at the TIP City Listings magazine, as well as a dramaturg, producer, and head of distribution at Senator Film, and as a curator for the German and international programs of the Berlinale. In addition, he was president of the German Film Industry's umbrella organization, SPIO, and managing director of the German Film Academy. We talked to Alfred Holighaus via video call for this interview. Alfred Holighaus, thank you so much for sitting down with us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Today, we'll be talking about the special edition film program that you curated for the German film's 70 years anniversary.
Yes.
And it's called 70 Years of German Cinema, a Success Story. How did you come up with that banner?
I did not come up with that banner. The films came up with that banner. And that set the standard for me. That was great because it was the offer to say which films had a success story internationally. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the criteria for the curation of that program.
Because my next question, and it's not in any way supposed to be negative, I would say, you know, if you ask people, what's your first thought about German films? It might be that the films are interesting and they're challenging and maybe sometimes frustrating, but also cool and fun. But I think success is not necessarily a first thought that people might have. Also, you know, films like Das Boot or The Lives of Others might be films that are maybe better known. So to go back to the choices that you made, can you tell us how you chose the films for the program? Other than the 70-year span, what kind of parameters did you have for the selection?
There were two or three things I had to have in mind. The first was, of course, I was asked as a person with a special and close relationship to German film and German film history. It was one criteria, but it was not the only one because it's for an international audience. Yeah. And so I had to think about other things like what were they representing? Mm-hmm. And of course, what was their international success in terms of awareness and box office? Mm-hmm. And that was very, very interesting because there were two films that came to my mind without thinking. Mm-hmm. I did not curate the short films, only the feature films, the documentaries, mm-hmm. and the animation film. And there were two films I was thinking of immediately. The first thing was Serengeti, Darf nicht sterben, because I always had that success story of that film in mind, and I had that film in mind because I saw it as a kid, and it was very, very impressive. When I was 9 years old, I wanted to move to Tanzania because of that film. And on the other hand, it was such a big success because it won an Oscar for documentaries in 1960. So I thought, this is the 50s and this is documentary. It was absolutely clear. So this was one thing. And the other film was Das Weiße Band. Mm-hmm. Not because it's my favorite film. It's, of course, one of my favorites. But I read the script years before it was made.
Yeah.
I said, this film is capable in explaining German and European history of the 20th century in 90 minutes. And it came out like that. That was, of course, at the end, the quality of that film. And as I said, this is very, very, very special that this country is capable in telling its own story in such a way. And it was internationally received. It won a Palme d'Or. It was nominated for an Oscar. So these were the two films that I did not have to think about. And there were other films I did not have to think about so much. But the other thing I knew was there's only one director that represents the 70s. And this is Rainer Werner Fassbinder.
Yeah.
The 70s were also the of course, the century of great films of Werner Herzog, of great films of Wim Wenders, but it was the only century that was completely dominated by Rainer Werner Fassbinder and his very special kind of filmmaking and storytelling. So it was clear the hard thing about that was to find the film. Mm. Yeah, I did not choose my favorite films of the 70s because this was The Merchant of Four Seasons. Mm. This is my favorite. And Warnung vor einer heiligen Nutte, I don't know the English title. These were my two favorite films. But I knew this was the film that founded the international reputation of Rainer Fassbinder. So I had to choose that. So this is a kind of objective criteria. And I had to leave Wim Wenders and Werner Herzog behind. I had the chance to get back to Wim Wenders in the 80s with Himmel über Berlin.
Yeah.
Also easy to explain. And I'm very happy that I did not hurt Werner Herzog so much, because his best films are his American documentaries. I love these. These are not his best films, but these are the films I love the most.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe you have a question.
I have questions, but
please ask a question. I want to talk about my favorite century, which is the 60s.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how many films did you consider overall? So it was one film per century.
Yeah.
And you already mentioned that there were some hard choices.
Yeah.
Was there one choice that were particularly, or one century where you said, oh, it's really hard to, you know, just pick one film to represent it?
I said, what shall I do with Toni Erdmann? Mm-hmm. Ich bin ein Mensch.
Yeah.
And of course, All Quiet on the Western Front. And then let's take them all. it crashed the whole concept, but it was after the 70 years. So that's why we could do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, of course, that I said, okay, German Films was founded in the 50s as a West German institution.
Yeah.
And so the big DEFA films were not represented by that. And mm-hmm. We were talking about that because it was really, it worried me. What shall we do about these great films? And then we talked about, okay, let's do bonus mm-hmm. about the DEFA films. And then I selected these three. So though we became a little bit away from the original concept, but we had it at least, in the real 70 years we had it. We did, some, as I said, some bonus material, which I think is important, because it represents the German film.
Yeah.
As it was, and as it is. To answer your question, I really don't know how many films I considered. I made a list of films that came to my mind.
Yeah.
Which was very easy to make that. And then I checked what were the international reception.
Yeah.
So, this was also a criterion. And I talked with the people of German films, of course, and with Simone, and said, okay, what do you think? Let's do it like that.
Yeah.
But my choice was, but I did not have to fulfill anything. You know, it was really, it was my choice and my argument.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, looking back at those 70 years, plus 70 years, you already mentioned that there is a time period where you think German film was especially creative and fruitful, and let's hear about the 60s.
Yeah, let's hear about the 60s. I think that's very interesting, because Julius Caesar would have that Germany was omnis divisa in partes tres. There were three kinds of films that were made in the 60s. We had these very successful films. The decade started with like the Karl May adaptations, and that brought me to the cinema. And afterwards, in the mid-60s, a lot of very light comedies about pupils and these things. And then the end of the century, the soft sex films that was all 60s. And then there was, and the 60s started also with the Manifesto of Oberhausen. Mm-hmm. And the films that came out by that, which were the films of Alexander Kluge and Edgar Reitz and others, of course.
Yeah.
And, this was a very strong, movement, not in kinds of, in terms of getting an audience. Yeah. But it really made an impact for how film was conceived by filmmakers mm-hmm. and received internationally. You know, that's why they got the invitation to Venice. They conquered Venice, so to speak, in the mid 60s. That's why I took Yesterday's Girl mm-hmm. by Alexander Kluge. I could have also taken a film by Edgar Reitz. These were the big heads in the double sense of the word. Yeah. for German films at that time. On the other hand, we had hearts, people like Klaus Lemke and Rudolf Thomé, who were inspired by cinema in generally. They wanted to tell stories. They were inspired by American filmmakers like Howard Hawks and people like that, and that tried to do their own very special and very independent, conducted by feelings and by pictures and by motions and by emotions. This was very interesting. And I found one film, which was in the competition of Cannes in 64. Mm-hmm. Which was made by Michael Pfleghar, Die Tote von Beverly Hills. This is one of my favorite films of the 60s. The story that takes place in the American entertainment industry, but it was a German film. And Michael Pfleghar, he was a TV director, and he was an entertainment producer. He was very successful in the 70s, with Klim Bim and things like that. And he did this one film, which was absolutely out of every norm and every frame of what we had to do. He did what he wanted to do. He told what he wanted to tell. No, but I think it was really hard, you know.
Yeah.
To say, "Nein, das ist Lola Rent. Run, Lola, run." And I think that's right.
Absolutely.
Because yeah. that was really the film that made a difference in German cinema and in the reception of German cinema worldwide. So I think this was really. It was a very small idea. I remember reading the first draft, three pages, and there was a whole concept on the three pages.
Yeah, that's all. Okay,
that's all, and you don't have to have more. And then you have that such a great, really good, but surprising film.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, also I think of the all the Clausen and Boepcke films.
But this was the interesting thing about the 90s. The films you're referring to were all made for television.
Exactly.
And Nach Film Robert was made for television, and it was screened at the International Hof Film Festival.
Yeah, but I remember seeing it in the cinema.
Of course, I was a recipient of that film. I discovered it in Hof. It was made for television, received by the audience in Hof. Everyone loved it. What makes a film work for cinema? The audience, at least, and the people want to see it in cinema. It was released on the 18th of April in 1996.
Okay.
And this was the first day after a long winter where we had 30 degrees Celsius.
Oh, good.
And Thomas Wiebke, Hans Christian Schmidt, and Franka Potente were going on a tour through the cinemas.
Yeah.
And they called me every evening. "We are more than the audience."
Oh no!
And so we stopped it.
Okay.
We took the film out of the cinemas.
Yeah.
Because no one showed up. The cinema said, "Okay, let's do it."
Yeah.
"We love the film. We let's try it again in 2 weeks." And we tried it again 2 weeks later, and the film was a success. The people had enough sun up to.
Yeah.
But the other films you've heard, Katja von Garnieren, they were all made for television and were very successful in cinema. This was one a very special feature of the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember I came back from my au pair year and everybody was talking about this film. And I'm like, why is everybody talking about a German film? And I've seen it multiple times. What's going on? That felt very special, especially, for a kid that grew up in the 80s, where there was so much American fare in the theaters and on television. I mean, not to, diss any of that. I mean, there was some great stuff there as well. But it always felt like German stories felt too small to be told for cinema, which was really unfortunate.
Except when they were told by Wim Wenders,
yeah.
And which, who was the representative of the 80s, but this was not also a big audience.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, depending on where you lived and grew up, didn't necessarily mean that you would be able to see those films because the theaters weren't screening them. That's the right. Other thing. In that respect. No matter what the whole streaming did to cinema or not, I mean, that is a big, big plus for a lot of people that, otherwise might not have the possibility to see certain films. Mm. Now, we mentioned that you're a producer yourself, been in the business for a while now. Given all the challenges that filmmakers face today with streaming, with the costs, do you think it's easier or harder to make a good film?
It was always easy and hard to make a good film. So I think because this really does not depend on the, not only depend on the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the talent, and it depends on the story. It depends on if you have the right idea at the right time and the right partners. This is has nothing to do with what time you live. This is something in general, of course. But I think if you just look at the real circumstances in terms of economy, in terms of the partnership with television, the partnership with streamers, the possibilities to get financed, we live in hard times. There's no doubt about that. This can be changed in a special range, but this is a fact. If you take this as a criteria, it's harder. But okay. On the other hand, film is always the result of your own fantasy, mm-hmm. of inspiration, of skill, of courage. This is not influenced by the political or economic circumstances.
It does go back a little bit also to that wonderful adage, nobody knows anything. I mean, nobody knows why certain films explode and people love them and they become successful and others don't, even though they might, you know, on paper have all the right ingredients. They have all producers, directors, stars, and still somehow the magic.
Yeah. And as I told you with the example of Wilbert, maybe it's sometimes it's only the weather. You know, if you have the chance to get back as we had, then it's okay. But sometimes it's just the wrong moment at the wrong place, and a year later or a year earlier, and sometimes even 5 or 10 years later or earlier, it would have been a success. You really can't tell.
Yeah. And now I have a few personal film questions for you. What is your favorite German film and why?
This is absolutely impossible for me. It's absolutely impossible to answer because every year there comes one film that mm-hmm. is for just a while my favorite films. I can make it very easy and say, okay, it's very easy. The first film that I saw in cinema is my favorite German film because it was the first film that I saw in cinema. I was 4 years old. I fell in love with cinema. When I was 6, I made an homage, 3 minutes homage on that film. But it has nothing to do with everything else I saw in cinema later because it was Der Schatz im Silbersee. It was, of course, a Karl May film. And I was 4 years old. So, this was my initiation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always had nothing to do with quality.
Yeah.
It had to do with the emotion, with my first encounter mm-hmm. with the little big picture.
Yeah.
And then look at the list. Well, that's, I told you, but my favorite Fassbinder film is Händler der Vierjahreszeit.
Okay. We'll take that. Which German film, new or classic, that you've watched has been the biggest surprise?
I remember, and I just do not think about it. Then I think about the first film of Man Arde.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that, I didn't have any expectation. I did not know what happened to me. And then I saw that film. Really couldn't believe it. I could not sit on the seat mm-hmm. because I always wanted to get involved. That don't do that. Don't do that. Let me. And it was so grabbing and so surprisingly good. This is great. And I was at that time. I was at the. I was working for the Berlinale, and mm-hmm. I said, "Okay, next film has to be in competition with the Berlinale." I started immediately trying to get the film, but it was a Man Arde film, and it took me 4 years. Of course, it took her 4 years and me 4 years to get the film. Alle anderen, which was in competition at the Berlinale, because
such a great film,
great film. So this is one of the surprise.
Okay.
And I only want to have to say one of the 60s films out of the 60s
mm-hmm.
That I love so much is Die Endlose Nacht.
Okay.
With was the first film with Hannelore Elsner, and it was made by a film critic, Wilhelm Tremper.
Mm-hmm.
It was one night at the airport of Teplow. Very, very special film. Which is did not also not follow any rule.
Okay.
at the end of the decade, Rote Sonne by Rudolf Thomé, also one of my favorites. All the Heimat films of Edgar Wright.
Okay.
This is really something which does not appear in that program, because it would have been too big. But this was, of course, and we really have to say in the context of success story, because this was a success story of German storytelling. Fantastic. All of them, especially the last one.
The next question is not going to be easy either, but I'm still going to ask it.
Okay.
If you could recommend one German film to our listeners to watch, only one, which one would it be?
Okay. Let's put that at the end, because my brain has to work.
That is the end.
Okay. Okay. Then the audience has to be patient and listen to a few minutes of quietness. M by Fritz Lang.
Nice choice.
Let's start the early time.
That is a great choice. Yes.
That's a great film.
Yeah. That is a great film. Well, that's a perfect answer. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure for me.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.